Well, Easter's done. And that means that you begin to actually look outside your windows and you see that thing outside your house, that big, big, big thing that you haven't even thought about for what now, 6 months, something like that. And it's called your yard, the site that your house is built on. And I don't know about you, but, you know, I love gardens. I've made over 20 gardens in my house. But the idea that somehow now I've got to go to what God has completely torn asunder. I mean, believe it or not. I mean, let's just think about this. The freeze thaw in Connecticut makes things just explode. Take a look over here. We're going to walk over to our stone steps. Now, these stone steps, believe it or not, these field stone steps, they're cleft field stone granite steps. They were totally intact in October. And look. Look at this. They're whole chunks of concrete coming out from between the mortar.
So that's just one winter.
That's one winter.
Yep.
That's gone. Now, I'm having people to my house tomorrow, so I have to get a sack of concrete, and I have to point this up. And if you see that you have the same thing, I can only give you one quick advice. Scrape out as much as is loose of the concrete that is falling out, but don't scrape it all the way out or you'll pop the whole stone and get a really nice bag of mortar mix, not concrete for foundations, but mortar mix, and mix it up as dry as you can mix it, as little water as you can get in there. And I know this is going to be hard on your little hands because it's got you know, acidic stuff in it and abrasive stuff in it, but push it in with your fingers, let it dry, and then scrape off the excess, and that's probably good for another year. If it gets too far gone, you really should probably hire a pro to come pop all the stones or bricks off and reset them. But if you don't do it every year, the whole thing just completely goes. And this is 19 years old, so it's not that bad. But when I've probably done a major job on it six times, maybe eight times in 19 years. So every other year, this is what you have to do with stone. And, you know, it's not just cold and all the rest of it that destroys things. It's those incredibly bizarre, intense rains we've been having. Take a look. I've got a gravel driveway that's steep. And this is almost kind of a metaphoric experience. As the huge rains came down, you can see they dig out big divots. And in a typical, you know, white male groundhog day kind of, you know, bang your head against the wall experience, I would just take the runoff gravel, which you can see under our house here. Our house is kind of a bizarre bridgey thing, and I would take it in a wheelbarrow, and I take it up and I fill the ruts in, and then I tamp it down. And then I began to say, well, I'm doing this over and over and over again, and it's insanity to keep doing this. So if you look behind you, we have six bags, 60-pound bags of patch blacktop. So if you have a gravel driveway where basically the rain makes these huge ruts, You can buy this bagged blacktop anywhere. You fill the ruts with the blacktop. Then you take the tailings of the gravel. You put it over that, and then you run over it, and it kind of blends, but then it won't do it the next time. It'll actually anneal it like a scab. It will stay there. You can see that up here where the steepest, we've actually almost filled the whole thing in. Mm-hmm. And I will rake more gravel over, and when it gets warm, that gravel will be driven into the now completely washed, bare blacktop. And it'll actually sort of bring it back. But you can see that, you know, it's not just the cold, and it's not just the rain. If you look around the yard, it's the wind. Look, this yard was completely without leaves, 100% without leaves. And now it's filled with leaves. And, you know, the way I deal with this, it's kind of maybe new agey, but basically I rake as little as possible. What I typically do is I have a mulching mower, and I mow twice. Everything gets mowed twice, bits and bits and bits, and it actually does give us a little bit of soil here. And I leave all the leaves I can on all the flower beds until the spring. So then I do a major rake out in the spring of all the leaves, and I put them in places where they create soil, which is basically here at the edge of the salt marsh we have here, this incredibly beautiful site. And to me, that is a way of keeping everything on the site, not creating sort of a, you know, bizarre landfill on your site, and actually letting the site evolve over time. Now, the optional exercise that freakish gardeners like me do, there are two optional exercises, really, with all of these raised beds, and I do like raised beds, they aerate, they've got higher density of plants, is that I edge using a spade that has a tall handle, which you can't get too many places, a tall-handled flat spade, so you can actually dig it down 8 or 10 inches, pop it up, and throw the dirt back onto the flower bed. That prevents roots from coming in. It also allows it to be free draining. And secondly, use an organic mulch. And because I am a yuppie scum, I'm a 52-and-a-half-year-old yuppie scum, so I'm more like a muppie scum or a oldie scum, old pea scum, whatever is the older version of yuppie, aged.
That's right. The Y
is gone. It's over. We're done with that.
Man.
The Y is so...
That's young urban professional. Yeah, we're and middle-aged and, you know, headed for suppy.
Not as old professional. Naspy? Yeah. I mean... not naspy, not as old. No,
not as young.
Not
right?
as young. Napies.
Yeah, napies is what we are.
So what I do is this organic stuff is the only one that does not, to me, have some offensive smell like cocoa husk, smell like chocolate. So you come onto somebody's yard, they smell like chocolate. Or the cedar doesn't really decompose well. I don't think the redwood doesn't decompose very well, but what really decomposes really, really well are buckwheat hulls. Now, they cost about as much as if you bought rosemary or thyme. I mean, they're incredibly expensive. Each bag is like $16 or $18. But what it does do that no other mulch that I've encountered does, it does create soil. It doesn't just cover. It actually decomposes. And you know why it's so expensive? Take a guess. You'll never guess this million. Why would buckwheat hulls, the things that the buckwheat itself is inside of, pop off and you're left with these hulls, why do you think they're so expensive?
Because they got to process them?
No. Because they started to use them for pillows.
Wow.
From like the seventh generation catalog, these other sort of organic super groover catalogs.
Yeah.
They actually put them in for your pillows for your head. So I say, well, if it's good enough for people's heads, it's probably good enough for my garden.
Yeah. Wow.
Now, what I like to do is I'd like to take you to the North 40. So let's go to the North 40. I want to tell you about a whole different thing. We're going to watch out for the dog poop.
Ooh. Okay, yep.
And that's another thing, by the way. When you go out in the garden, how much dog poop can your dog poop over 6 months of trying to find it in the snow? It's a lot. It's more than you ever thought of. It's amazing. And what I'm going to close with is that now, it's going to be April, almost immediately. Now, if you're going to start thinking about having vegetables, this is the magic moment. And where we're standing right over here, there's a little hollow. That place gets sun about 4 hours a day in my shade pit that is my yard. And I think I'm going to try to do a raised bed garden. And I'm going to begin to, dare I say, think about composting, which is a religion. I mean, it's a religion. You have to know all the rabbinical laws of what you put in, what you don't put in, and when you. And my wife is just rolling her eyes whenever I say, "I think I'm going to start composting, honey." But this, I think, is what you do when your kids are thinking about going to college. You think about the rest of your life. Well, my kids are gone, but maybe I can compost before I turn into compost.
I'm going to make some dirt.
So. Let's face it, the winter's over. Get off your tuchus. You know, when March Madness is done, you better get your patooties out there and think about how you're going to rake, clean up, and bring something back so that by the time all those shoots of good things start happening, you're not going to be trampling them, making the place look presentable.
Duo Dickinson is an architect, author, and the contributing writer in home design for Money Magazine.